ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं कृतं नवघ्नं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ केन् यु हियर् मी?
Yes, Guruji. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So we have seen the initial verses of the Vishnu Sahasra Nama, where initially the invocation was there, and then Yudhishthira going to Bhishmacharya and asking six questions, Bhishmacharya answering all those six questions, and then we went on to study the installation and then visualization. Called as Nyasam and Dhyanam. In Dhyanam, we saw Ekarupa and Vishwarupa. And in Dhyanam itself, we have studied quite a lot of Namas. The whole idea is to fill the mind, especially the subconscious, with the thoughts of divinity. Because our mind is now filled with all kinds of worldly thoughts. So we need to fill it with the absolute. Therefore, you know, all these processes are happening. The entire thing, the very simple concept that we need to understand is, as per Advaita Vedanta, you are that Atma. But you are colored by various desires and vasanas. These impurities. So we need to remove these impurities. Once the impurities are removed, what remains is the pure self. So the entire process of spirituality is just removing the impurity, nothing else. And the more and more we remove the impurities, we become alert and aware of subtler impurities. So there won't be any time to sit and talk about other people's impurity actually. That's why one of the sins that Swami Ramtirtha, when he talks about sins in the path of spirituality, one of the main things he talks about is criticism. You to sit and talking about other fellows means you are not really into purifying yourself. That means you are not truly into spirituality. It's a very big obstacle. So when he says, you know, criticizing, gossiping, all these are a big obstacle in the path of spiritual evolution. So at the environmental level, at the body level, at the mind level, at the intellect level, at all levels, one needs to cleanse oneself. And once the cleansing happens thoroughly, then the self alone remains. That is the state where you call it self-realization, which means you are already the self. There is nothing to realize. That's why in this marga we say, it is not something that you gain. You can't achieve this through action. Through action, you purify yourself. So this action is done at the body level, at the verbal level, and at the mind level. So at all these three levels, we integrate and we try to purify. And more once we purify, the self reveals itself. That's the concept. So all this process was explained. Now, Bhishmacharya starts giving the 1000 names of the Lord. Now, before we even start studying the 1000 names, we need to firstly understand that in fact it will come, one of the namas is one who is beyond gunas, one who is beyond attributes. One who is beyond attributes means one who is beyond form, means one who is beyond names also. So these names are indicative of that. Strictly speaking, you cannot give name to the Lord. So this is a technique. All these names are all techniques for the mind to shift from the, what do you call, surface to the sublime. And then once you go to that sattvic level, then the pure sattva cannot exist itself. It dissolves, and what remains is the pure consciousness. Therefore, though we say these are thousand names of Lord Vishnu and all that, strictly speaking, the reality is beyond names, beyond forms. So these are all techniques at the level of the mind. So let's now get on to the first shloka. First shloka where the namas are given. Vishnu Sahasra Nama. Om Vishwam Vishnur Vasakparo Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuta Krit Bhuta Vridbhavo Bhuta Atma Bhuta Bhavanaha. Om Vishwam Vishnur Vashakaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Bhuta Krit Bhuta Vridbhavo Bhuta Atma Bhuta Bhavanaha. First, before we do any prayer or anything, first we chant Om, because we studied many times that anything that you start auspicious, you start with Om or Om Tat Sat. Om that Sat means existence or reality. So Om represents or is the designation of Brahman, because it represents the pure consciousness which pervades the waking dream and deep sleep states of consciousness, which is represented by A, U, M. We have studied all this, so I am not going into the details of it. So therefore, first we say Om. And then the first Nama, Vishwam. The very first Nama for Mahavishnu given in Vishnu Sahasra Nama is Vishwam. Vishwam means the universe. Vishwam means the universe. This entire universe itself is called as Vishnu, the whole manifestation. Whole manifestation means whatever we can conceive and even some things which we cannot conceive. Not just this universe, the Milky Universe, Milky Way and all that put together, whatever you can conceive, all that. This, he whose manifestation itself is the whole universe of forms. That's called Vishwam. This entire Vishwam is Mahavishnu only. So the whole concept in our studies is that there is only Brahman and it is beyond gunas. In that Brahman, the Shakti is inherent as a potential. And when you talk about Brahman with that Shakti, which we call as Maya, Maya Sahita Brahman is called as Ishvara. The term, whenever we use the word Ishvara or Lord, we talk about Maya Sahita Brahman. And that Ishvara identifies with the Maya Shakti, controlling Maya Shakti, allows the Maya to express. Maya expresses the space, air, first space comes, then air comes, then fire comes, then water comes, then earth comes. Now this space, air, fire, water, earth that I talked about, they are not gross space or gross air or gross fire or gross water or gross earth. They are all subtle space, subtle air, subtle fire, subtle water, subtle earth. From that space, air, fire, water, earth, the krama is there. As per the krama, slowly, slowly, the senses came, the mind came, pranas came, intellect came, and then the gross elements came. Gross space, gross air, gross fire, gross water, gross earth. Gross elements, when you say, gross earth. In earth, it's not pure earth. There is little bit of water. There is little bit of warmth or fire. There is little bit of air. There is little bit of space. It's a mixture. But the majority portion is earth. Similarly, water. Similarly, fire. Similarly, air. And similarly, space. Therefore, what we experience, space, air, fire, water, earth, these are all gross ones. This entire universe at the gross level is called Virat Purusha. Virat Purusha. At the subtle level, it's called Hiranyagarbha. Hiran means gold. Garbha means womb. So, it's also called as Brahma. So, that first from Ishvara comes Hiranyagarbha. From Hiranyagarbha comes Virat Purusha. So, this entire whole universe, whatever has come out as Virat, is nothing but that Vishnu. That's it. That's what it is saying. Vishwam. Vishwam means the whole manifestation. The entire thing is called Vishwam. So he says, the whole cosmos of all these gross forms is his own expressions. That's the meaning of this word Vishwam. This word meaning, Vishwam is so simple, but what it actually means is universe. In one word, if you want to say, it is universe. Or you can say, it's the cause of the universe. Cause of the universe in the sense. In Mundaka Upanishad, he beautifully explains. Now, if you say the universe is caused by Vishnu, what is the material with which he created the world and where did he get that material from? Okay. And where was the intelligence to create the world from? When you talk about pot maker, pots, various pots are made. Here Shweta is there. So Shweta makes a lot of clay stuff. So Shweta is a pot maker, let's say. Now, Shweta is the intelligent cause for all the clay stuff that she makes. But she is not the material cause. The material cause is clay. So, there is a material cause called clay and there is intelligent cause called Shweta, the pot maker. But when you talk about the world, if you say the material was taken from somewhere else, then who created that world? So what Shastras tell us is, in the creation of the world, both the material cause and the intelligent cause, called as Upadana Karanam and Nimitta Karanam. Upadana Karanam means material cause. Sorry. Nimitta Karanam means intelligent cause. Both are Ishvara. Now you say, how is this possible? So Shastra says, yes, it's possible. Gives one example. What? Spider. Spider spins the web from its own saliva. Spider spins the web from its own saliva and it is spinning the web because it has the intelligence to spin it. So spider is both the material cause and the intelligent cause. So the material cause and the intelligent cause of the web is spider. Similarly, of this universe is Ishvara. The Maya aspect is the metal cause and the pure self reflects through it, which enables it to function. Therefore, this entire universe is nothing but expression of that divinity. Now, if this entire universe is expression of the divinity and it is a different permutation combination, then there can be millions of names. Why thousands? In fact, when we say thousand, hundred, and these words in Sanskrit, in our culture, it doesn't mean hundred. Say you live 100 years, doesn't mean after 100 years birthday, next day immediately you die. It means live forever. It means live as long as you can live in this physical body. Utilize those days to be able to achieve the self which is always living. So that you realize that you are eternal. You are beyond death. So when they say, may you live 100 years. This is the meaning. May you live 100 years not for having pani puri and then sleeping nicely. May you live 100 years means for these reasons. So similarly, the entire universe has come out of Brahman. In fact, this entire universe is nothing but Brahman. Therefore, anything and everything in this universe is God. This is why a lot of people say, why you are having so many gods? There is only one God. That's why I say in my class, we don't say there is only one God. We say there is only God. It is God that is manifested as all this. Just like how in your house, you are one person only, but sometimes you are into the kitchen working. Sometimes you are sitting and eating in the dining hall. Sometimes you are in the lounge. So you are the same person, but you are manifested in all these places. Similarly, this entire universe is a manifestation of that one divinity, Vishwam. And Vishnuhu, that's the second nama. First nama is Vishwam. Second nama is Vishnuhu. Vishnuhu means, it comes from the root Vish, which means to pervade. So Vishnuhu means, having created this universe out of himself, he has pervaded this universe as well. Just like how milk is pervaded by butter, but it's not seen. There's a process through which you remove the butter. Similarly, Brahman, Ishwara pervades this universe. Vishnuhu. Vishnuhu means all pervading. That's what it means. He pervades everything in this universe. But the problem is, for the gross senses, it's not available. When you subtilize, you can see. When you are gross, you cannot see. That's the problem. So, you want to see the divinity, you have no choice but to become pure. But if you remain impure and then say there is no God, it's not the loss to God, it's your loss. So Vishnuhu, he is all-pervading reality. That's what it means when you say Vishnuhu. Deveshti, vyapnoti iti Vishnuhu. That which pervades everywhere is Vishnu. Deveshti, vyapnoti iti Vishnu. Pervading everything, there is nothing that doesn't have divinity in it. But why am I not seeing? Because I am still seeing the form in the, there's a text in Tamil. It's a beautiful text. It's called Tirumandiram. Tirumandiram, mantras. Tiru means Sri in Tamil. Sri mantras, you can say. Tirumandiram. It has more than 3,300 shlokas. And it's given by Tirumular. In that one of the verse, it says, Marattai maraitadu ma mada yanai. Marattil maraitadu ma mada yanai. Parattai maraitadu par mudal budam. Marathil maraindadu par mudal budam. Maram means wood. Or, yeah, wood. They make elephants out of wood. You go to Kerala, you get all these things. Everywhere now it's available. So when a child is seeing the elephant, child is not aware of the wood. He gets excited seeing that elephant. So the child is only seeing the form elephant. So Tirumula says, the wood, maram, is covered by elephant, the form. Marathai maraitadu mamadayani. Then, when you grow up and then see the wood, marathil means in wood, elephant dissolves. Marathil maraindadu mamadayani. So when you see the wood, the elephant dissolves, all the forms dissolve. Then he says Paratai. Param means the supreme Parabrahman. Para. Ultimate. Reality. Paratai maraitadu par mudal bhutam. The forms, these Mahabhutas, space, air, fire, water, earth, all this is a combination of that only. Your body, my body, everything is that. Ultimately, it goes into that only. For that only, we are all fighting with each other in between. And the whole samsara is going on because of that. Understand? So, Paratai maraitadu. Maraitadu means covered. What? Par mudal bhudam. All these elements, the combinations, the forms. Paratil. When you subtilize yourself, and then when you see the para, paratil maraindadu par mudal. The whole world dissolves. There is, you are seeing world where there is only God. Therefore, first they say, this world is God. Then, no. That which pervades in this world is God, not this form. Beautiful it is. Fascinating. So, Vishwam Vishnuhu. Vishnuhu means one who is all pervading. Please understand this. This whole thing is pervaded by that Lord. Isa Vasyam. I think we did the Isa Vasya Upanishad. He says that. Isa Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Chaktena Bhunjita Magrida Kasya Sutta. All this is pervaded by Isha. You are not seeing, what can I do? It's like you are going with your children to this shop and you are seeing wood, the children are seeing elephants. There's no communication. They say, please get me that elephant. That's what they are saying. But you know it's nothing but wood. So you are discussing how much is it? And he says X amount of money. Then you say, why so much money? This is not sandalwood, this is not this wood, this is only normal wood. Why you are charging so much? Children are saying, hey, what is this my mother going on arguing like this? Why is she not getting me this elephant? If they don't know anything else other than that form, this is the problem. That's what he's saying. Vishwam Vishnuhu. So the very first Nama is Vishwam and the second Nama is Vishnu. Vashatkaraha. Vashatkaraha, in the rituals, in the Karmakanda portions, when they offer, in the rituals, what do? They say many mantras and then they offer ahuti into the fire. So when they do that, in the ritualistic portion of the Vedas, they find many mantras ending with vashate. When they say vashate, means you offer the ahutis into the fire. So, they are used, when the word vashat, they say, they are used to pour the devoted, dedicated oblation into the fire. That's what it means. Therefore, vashatkara means he who is invoked and, worshipped through the Vedic mantras. That's what vashatkara means. Yajna. So, this is a very technical term, Vashatkaraha. Vishwam Vishnuhu Vashatkaraha. So now, that Vishnu who is all pervading, how do you realize, how do you see that? By offering all your vasanas. So this is the thing. To see the Vishnu, to realize the Vishnu, you need to give up all your vasanas. But what we are doing is, we are adding more vasanas. When you keep on adding more vasanas, you will only be seeing the form. You won't see the reality. And as long as you are seeing the form, the name, there will be samsara. You will be going through all this. So that's why in yajna, the idea of yajna is what? We also studied in the fourth chapter, 12 yajnas. I don't know if you still remember all those things. So, in those 12 yajnas also, Brahma yajna, Deva yajna, all kinds of yajnas we study. Ultimately, what's the idea? There's an offering and kindling. Offering and kindling. So, there is of all the yajnas, he said the greatest is Jnana Yajna. In fact, from there only we took the term. In fact, Swami Chinnandaji took it and kept it as a name for all the lecture series. Gita Jnana Yajna. Until then, Yajna means only fire worship rituals were there. But when he said, hey, yeah, everywhere there is only fire worship, what about knowledge? So he said, Jnana Yajna, where we offer our ignorance and we kindle the knowledge. Therefore, Vashatkaraha, he who is invoked and worshipped through yajnas. And Vashatkaraha means yajna itself is Vishnu. Is yajna rupena. Even mantra. Mantra is worship. When we did that installation process, we studied, no? When we said Guru, we touched here. Even chandas is worship. You know, Anushtup Chandaha, we did this. So, everything is taken to be Vishnu. Everything is nothing but God. So, Yajna Rupa, Yajna Vai Vishnu. Yajna Vai Vishnu means Yajna itself is Vishnu. So, Vashatkaraha, another meaning is Yajna itself is Vishnu. So, Vishwam, Vishnu, Vashatkaraha, and then Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Prabhu means Lord. Prabhu means Lord. And Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat. So Bhuta means past tense. Bhavya means present tense. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Means what? The concept of time. So what he is saying is, he is the one who is the Lord of the past, present and future. I don't know what the translation given in the book that I have given you. The book that I have given you, I think. The one who is the master and beyond the past, present and future. So, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Prabhu means Lord and he is the one who is beyond the past, present and future. The Lord of the past, present and future. Now, when he says he is the Lord of the past, present and future, what does it mean? The beings of the past was enlivened by the pure consciousness. The beings in the present is also enlivened by the same pure consciousness. And the beings of the future is also enlivened by the same pure consciousness. So the pure consciousness is the one which enlivens people of the past, present and future. So Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Lord of the beings of the past, present and future. See, our experiences are ultimately registered in us as thoughts. And the thoughts of the past and the thoughts of the present and the thoughts of the future, they are all enlivened by the same self, Atma, sitting inside. Therefore, he says, you know, he is the Lord. He remains changeless, enlivening all our experiences. So this very change is known and experienced by us because of the knower of change. So this knower of change must be something other than the change. And that is called what? Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Illuminator of all changes. Time is nothing but what? Change. Morning, noon, night. Again, morning, noon, evening, night. Morning, noon, evening, night. It's going on changing. So, Lord means, see, whenever we say, I'm the boss. What does it mean? I'm the boss means, they listen to me, I control them, they don't listen to, I don't listen to them. They don't control me. I don't listen to them means, they don't control me. I am the one who controls them. So, Lord of time. Lord of time means Lord of mind. Lord of all changes. That's what it means. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat. Entire changing world is illuminated by that changeless reality, and that changeless reality is Vishnu. Now see, the interesting thing is all these namas, even each and every nama when we are studying, they are so highly philosophical and ultimately pointing us towards that divinity. So what's happening is, for 1 hour, 1.5 hours when we are studying this, all the time our mind is directed towards the higher. To that extent, it's not going to be lower. To that extent, the lower weakens. And the lower dies away. And the mind is taken to the high level of sattva. And this has to be sustained with other sadhanas. Otherwise, it's difficult. So that's why they very much emphasize on satsang. It's very important. I'll give you a very gross example. You work out on the treadmill. For about 1 hour or so, you work out. A good speed, about 7 or 7.5 speed, you are walking and running. I don't know, maybe 1 hour, how much you will burn? Maybe burn 350, 400 calories. And you come out, you're so thirsty. You just have one can of Coke. Just one can of Coke, if you have, it will finish that 1 hour workout. I think it's equal to 350 or 400 calories, that's also, approximately. So, one thing is to work out. Other is to make sure you practice other disciplines in such a way that workout helps you. Otherwise, you will do self-canceling actions. So, when you do these kind of studies, it is extremely important to follow it up with other sadhana. Otherwise, it will not help. Otherwise, we will just be informed. We will just be intelligent. As we have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhaja Govindam, Atma Bodha, Upanishads, we studied this also. We will know. And in some tea party somewhere when we sit, we can talk about, oh, Vishnu means this. Veveshti Dapno Teeti Vishnu. The fellow knows many things. But it's useless. So therefore, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu means the illuminator of all changes. Then Bhuta Krit. Bhuta Krit means the creator of all creatures. All Bhutas. Bhuta Krit, the creator of all creatures. If you see, tiny insects are there, and some insects you can't see on it. So, from that to huge animals, everything in this universe, all the creatures are created by him. One who creates the creatures, what's called Bhuta Krit. Now, creator doesn't mean he has desire to create. God has said in the Maya manifests all the creatures that come about. So in that sense, he's also got the name Bhuta Krit. And the word can be dissolved in two ways as per the Sanskrit. One is Bhuta, Bhutani Karoti Iti Bhuta Krit. And then other is Bhutani Krindanti Iti Bhuta Krit, which means one who destroys those. So in other words, this Bhuta Krit means both one who creates the beings, one who dissolves the being. Very, very interesting name. Annihilates. At the time of Pralaya, which he shows in this Vishwarupa Darshana. You know, in Vishwarupa Darshana, when he studied, ultimately when he sees all the fellows are being crushed and pulverized, Arjuna cannot take it. He says, please take it back. I don't want to see all this. I can't see it. So, Bhuta Krit means both Krindanti and Karoti, which means creator and annihilator, which means sustainer also. So, that's the next one. Bhuta Brit. Bhuta Brit means one who nourishes. So, Bhuta Krit, Bhuta Brit. Creator, sustainer, destroyer. From him it comes. In him it's existing. Into him it dissolves. What it means. Bhuta Krit, Bhuta Krit. One who nurtures and nourishes all beings. See, this word nourishes needs to be understood correctly. Now, just think about this. How? Now, each being that created, and for every being, the food supply is there, going on. How this is happening? Who's done all this? If you say, no, we are producing the grains and all that, how you can produce the grains without the seeds? And without the earth having the capacity to convert the seeds into more grains? So, who is doing it? It's already there. The intelligence is already there. The intelligence is there in the earth. You didn't go and put that intelligence in the soil. It's already there. Who's created the water? From where is it coming? How water from ocean rises and then it comes here through rain? Who's doing all that? So you got to conceive this whole thing. In fact, I must say thanks to Shweta. 2 days ago she sent me one message. Please go and watch that documentary in Apple Plus. I watched it, Shweta. It was good. Thanks. What is it? It's called The Year That Changed. Earth Changed. The Year Earth Changed. The Year Earth Changed. 45 minutes or so. Documentary. From last March 2020, when they announced this lockdown across the world, approximately around that time, everywhere, they announced the lockdown. It's now about 1.5 years. God knows how long this whole thing is going to continue. But at least 1.5 years we have all crossed. Beautifully they show. Some of the things we have already got news in the news channels and WhatsApp and all that. But brilliantly they show how just because human beings went into hiding, how all other species thrive. Just human beings went into hiding for a few days. All other species are really enjoying and thriving and coming out. We have actually taken over their lands. Huh? One fellow in Chennai, my mother bought one property from, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago. Just came to know 2 years ago. Somebody had taken it away. It's not physically. The documents and everything they forged and they've taken it away. She has filed the case and it's going on. You know how it takes so much time. It's going on. Let it go. But what I'm saying is, when I was watching this documentary, I was thinking, we are talking about our land being taken away. And in the documentary, it shows how we have taken away the land from the animals. It's incredible. We've taken everything. We've taken over the ocean. We have taken over the mountains. We have taken over the forests. We have taken over everything. Anything that is possible, we have taken over. Huh? It is just incredible. It's too much. When you think of it, the most dangerous fellows on earth is human beings. And the modern human beings, especially. Because the human beings of the past, you read that book, Yuval Noah Harari, the book, Homo Sapiens. Sapiens, the book is called Sapiens. It's a fascinating history he writes. It's incredible. What we have done, the world that we are experiencing, we are studying all this, and then you see this documentary, it's frightening. We have taken over the land, we have taken over the ocean, we have taken over the mountains, we have sky also, space also we want to take. Everything we are taking over. Modern man is very dangerous. So, we are actually destroying, but the nourishing is done by whom? The reality, the intelligence is there. It's amazing how the whole thing is done. how these animals, they find their food. Something, every thing, herbivorous animals, if they are less in number compared to carnivorous, what will happen? So, herbivorous animals are more in number compared to the carnivores. And compared to the herbivorous animals, the plantations are more in number. Who is designing all these things? Who's put this there? So when you understand this and get into that bow, automatically your hand will come in namaskar position. Where are you? So, Bhuta Vritta means one who nourishes. Are we thinking, we are thinking, we have nourished and we have nourished and give one big check to somebody and then you think you have done this, you have done nothing. You, temporarily we are here and then we are doing all this tamasha. But he is the one who is actually nourishing us. What we are doing is we are destroying it. So therefore, Bhuta Vrit, one who nourishes and nourishes all beings, called Bhuta Vrit. And Bhavaha, one who becomes himself into this movable and immovable beings. That's what Bhavaha means. Bhavaha means one who becomes. Becomes what? One who has become all these movable and immovable beings of this universe. That's the one of the meanings of the word Bhavaha. Bhutakrit, Bhutabhrit, Bhutabhavaha. Actual, absolute existence. That's what it means. Bhavaha also means existence. That which alone exists. Nothing else exists. And that existence tattva is Brahma. That existence tattva is Vishnu. All these are seemingly existing. But really what exists is Vishnu. Everything else is a projection upon. So, Bhavaha. Bhavaha means that which exists, that which actually seems to have become all this moving and immovable beings. Bhavaha. And next nama is Bhutatma. Where do you find them? In the Atma of every being. The government of India and its rule is there till the borders of this country. The mountains or in the ocean, wherever you go, up to the border boundary, the law and rule of the land is there. But if you want to do any work with the government of India, you have to come to Delhi center. Similarly, the Mahavishnu, the all-pervading reality that is pervading everywhere, but where can you find it? Bhutatma. It's the Atma, the core of all beings. Beautiful. Self. And it is the Paramatma. Bhutatma, Bhuta Bhavana. The Paramatma comes next. So, Bhutatma, Bhuta Bhavana. One who creates the multiple creatures. That is the one of the meanings of Bhuta Bhavanaha, generator of beings. See, you see the kaleidoscope. They've crushed all the bangles or whatever glass pieces and they put together, made the kaleidoscope. Every rotation, unbelievable combinations of designs come. Even twins, they are not there. Some, they may be similar, but how all these varieties of beings have come about? These are generators of being, multiples of creatures. It's incredible. You know, when you see some of these documentaries, how they film and all, I don't know. They go into the ocean and do all this kind of filming. Inside the ocean, they are happily going in the boat. And seeing and enjoying all what is inside the ocean itself is unbelievable. And when they show all those things in the documentary, fascinating creatures, fascinating. So that's what it means, Bhuta Bhavanaha, one who creates and multiplies the creatures. One who creates and multiplies the creatures. So we have seen 9 namas in the first shloka. Let's go to the second one. Bhutatma Paramatma cha Muktanam Paramagatihi Avyayah Purusha Sakshi Kshetra Jnokshara Evacha Bhutatma Paramatma cha Muktanam Paramagatihi Avyayah Purusha Sakshi Kshetra Jnokshara Evacha. The 10th nama is Bhutatma, the 11th nama is Paramatma. Bhutatma means pure essence. One with an extremely pure essence. Bhutatma. Pure self. See, pure gold, you can never make ornaments. Something that is mixed with it, then the ornaments is made. Pure gold, they cannot make it into ornaments. So, even though he talked about this universe, this and that, ultimately what it is pure self. It is not a substance. There is nothing else other than it. It exists in its pristine glory as pure self, Bhutatma. Bhutatma, Paramatma. It is the supreme self, Paramatma. It is untouched. It is that which implements all this, but it is beyond all this. It is untouched, it's supreme, which transcends all limitations and imperfections. There are no imperfections whatsoever. It is not affected by any impurities or maya. That is the meaning of Bhutatma. Bhutatma means it's beyond impurities. Impurities is maya. What we are experiencing is the world expressed through maya. So it's impurity. It's like ornaments. Not pure gold. If you want to experience pure gold, you got to go beyond ornaments. Similarly, that is why you have to go beyond these names and forms, that is Bhutatma. And supreme in the same. It has no limitations, no imperfections. When the moment it comes into some form, there's a beginning and end. There's a limitation. You understand? So, and in limited things, there is imperfection. The imperfections belong to the matter. But in the case of the pure self or spirit, there is no imperfection. Beyond all imperfection. So, the moment you come to this world, worldly manifestation, some imperfections will be there. But once you go beyond, there are no imperfections, nothing. It's all beyond. That's what it means. And then Muktanam Paramagatihi. Gati means goal. Paramagati means supreme goal, final goal. Muktanam Paramagatihi. Of the people who are wanting to liberate, for them this is the final goal. Means what? The only way you can liberate from this samsara is knowing, realizing this pure self. There is no other way you can attain mukti. You want to become free from all this, it's the only way. So then put 2 doses of vaccine, but they'll say still corona can come, but maybe you will not end up in ICU and all, but there are cases where they end up in ICU, this and that, all kinds of stories you hear and you'll get agitated. Ultimately, knowing that you are Atma and realizing that you are Atma, alone you go beyond all these fears, all these insecurities. Till then the insecurities, all these things will be binding. Sugar level gone up, blood pressure gone down, gone up. This thing, that thing. You know, all these things you got to, of course you need to take care. That's all there. But the unbelievable amount of samsara that we are all involved in. Only way you can liberate. So he says, Muktanam, those who desire mukti, For them, Paramagati, they understood. All the other fellows, what? They think by, if you are earning 1,000 crores, by becoming 5,000 crore club, I will attain mukti. And fellows who are having 5,000 crore, they want to go to 25,000 crore. This is one thing. Another is, if you are a member of one group, Thai, then from Thai you want to go to YEO, YEO you want to go to YPO, from that YPO you want to go to WPO, all these different groups you want to go, you think that group, if I go, I'll be secure. Then after the WPO, you think if I come to Vedanta group, I'll be secure. No group, including Vedanta group, you cannot be secure. If you only gain the knowledge of Vedanta, you will be secure. And realize that that's the supreme goal. There is no other goal. Once you reach, there will be nothing remaining to reach. That's the point. Huh? So you think 5,000 crores is enough. Afterwards, you think 5,000 is not enough, 25,000. So it's not ending, it's not final. That's what he is trying to say. The final is what? Making up. Tanam Paramagatihi. Remember what was the question Yudhishthira asked? One of the question is, what is that final goal? See, if you are actually wise, na, you will ask that only. How to stop all this? I'm stopping one and another, something is coming and then after that is coming. The more and more I'm trying, the more things are coming, so I'm going on getting agitated. So how to stop? You cannot stop it outside. You can only stop it inside. How? By realizing that you are the Supreme Self. There is no other way. Once you realize that you are the Supreme Self, then this game that you play in the outside world will not be tension creating stuff. It will be just the tamasha that you will be playing. That's all. Therefore, what has to be attained? Shastra gives us the direction. You know, instead of meandering in all directions, that's what most of us do. We go here, there, everywhere we go, and then finally we come to this. But by the time we come, we have become so old and we have indulged in our lives and all that. The body is not cooperating. Our old habits are such that, and dependent on people at home and here and there. So we find very little cooperation for us to do this little vigorous. So we say, understand this and come early. And the body is cooperating. So therefore, muktanam paramagatihi. See who is the final goal that is reached by all the liberated souls, those who want liberation. That's the paramagatihi. There is no other gati. The real gati is inside. See, why are we going after the material world? We are going after the material world to stop running. But does our running stop? It doesn't stop. So the outside running can never stop. But the mind running has to stop. When will it stop? When the mind knows its source. What's the source of the mind? Brahman. That's the gati. But till you don't know the source of the mind will continue running. And when the mind runs, where does it run? It runs into the worldly objects and beings. So what you are doing, you're going on acquiring more and more worldly objects and beings. It gives you a false sense of security. Temporarily. After that, it's all gone. False sense of security is this, that's all. Now they got one more Bitcoin. All nonsense continues forever. Then, avyaya. Yaha, avyaya, unmanifest. Manifest, unmanifest, and also that which is indestructible. That's what avyaya means. Who is indestructible? You are indestructible. Only the form is destructible. But you are indestructible. The unchanging reality is indestructible. So avyaya also means unchanging. Indestructible. Undecaying, immortal, all this is perishable. We studied this in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? The 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called as what? The Yoga of Imperishable Brahman. So that imperishable. It is indestructible. It's undecaying. It is immortal. It is unmanifest. It's not available to your senses. Then Purushaha. Purushaha is another beautiful nama. Purusha means, there are different meanings again. Pure Shete iti Purushaha, which means Puri. Puri means city, isn't it? That which resides in the city. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a word we studied, Navadware Pure Dehi Naiva Kurvanna Karayan. Navadware Pure Dehi Naiva Kurvanna Karayan. This city of nine gates, this physical body, in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna refers to this physical body as city of nine gates. And in the city of nine gates, the Purusha is sitting. The Isha, the self, is sitting in the Puri. Pure Shete iti Purushaha. So that self is the one which is indwelling in this body, through this body. That indweller is Purusha. And also Purayati iti Purusha, which means that which fills everything. So that's the ultimate Purusha, and also it's called Uttama Purusha, supreme being. And one Purusha is the one which seems to be indwelling in all these different bodies. Therefore, Purushaha, one who dwells in the city, and Sakshi, and he is sitting inside as what? Witness. Happily sitting, watching all the tamasha going on. I'm talking now, sitting inside and watching. I just coughed, sitting inside and watching. Everything is being watched. There's a very interesting story. Guru called two of his disciples and gave them each a fruit, apple or something he gave. He said, go to a place where there is nobody and eat it and come. So both went. One fellow went in another direction, another fellow went in another direction. After some time, they both arrived. One fellow had eaten the fruit, one fellow had not eaten the fruit. He asked this guy who has not eaten the fruit, I told you to go and eat the fruit where there is nobody. He said, yes, I understood your instruction, but I kept on going. I couldn't find a place where there is nobody, because wherever I go, I am there. Wherever I went, I am there. So I couldn't find a place where there is nobody. I couldn't eat the fruit. The Guru said, yes, this is what I actually wanted to teach you. So what? Ultimately, the Atma is sitting there, remaining as a Sakshi. It's a fascinating word. In fact, if you understand Vedanta, you will become a Sakshi. Everything else doesn't matter. All words and lectures are ultimately useless. Waste of time, actually, from a different context, not from this context. How many hours of electricity, Zoom, this thing, connection, all finally what? Sakshi. But going on talking the same thing, because we never ever understand this. But to become Sakshi, when you understand these namas and you understand this, you understand this. Inside the subject, Atma is sitting as a Sakshi, witness. Witnessing everything, not interfering whatsoever. You use the energy to kill somebody, it is a witness. You use the energy to save somebody, it is a witness. Not interfering at all. That is Atma, Sakshi. And Kshetrajna. Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yoga. We studied in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Kshetra means field. Kshetrajna means knower of the field. Kshetrajnam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata, says Shri Krishna. Kshetras are many. His body is a Kshetra, mind is a Kshetra, all these are Kshetras. In all these Kshetras, there is only one reflected consciousness, that is Kshetrajna. So he says, Kshetrajnam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. And that one Kshetrajna in all these various Kshetras. So that is Kshetrajna. One who knows the body and all the experiences within the body is a knower of the field. And that knower of the field is called Kshetrajna. And Akshara. Akshara means what? Never perishes. That ultimate reality, Vishnu, who never perishes. Because perishing is only for something that is born. Something that came into existence will expire. Something that didn't come into existence, there's no question of expiring. It's always existing. There's no beginning. It's beyond beginning, it's beyond end of. It is Akshara. And you are that. That's the point. Aksharam evacha. 17th nama, Akshara. Akshara, Kshara, Akshara, Uttama Purusha. We studied this in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. All these names and forms are Kshara. Kshara means perishable. When you destroy the pot, what remains? Clay. It is Akshara. So that names and forms is perishable, but the real essence, which he called as Putatma or Paramatma, that is Akshara. And that's you. That's you, that's me, that's all of us. That is Aksharam. Aksharam here doesn't mean that letter. Kshara means perishable. Akshara. The moment you put A means the opposite. So imperishable. So you are imperishable. I am imperishable. Everybody is imperishable. When I realize that, will I have any fear? Will I have any fear? That's why he kept on saying in the beginning also, conquer all fears. Ultimately, why we are doing all these things? Whatever we are going on, hoarding, for what? Because ultimately, okay, all these things that we have hoarded will help me at least be alive in ICU. If something put onto my nose and then my stomach and ears, everywhere they put something, somehow I have to be alive. But for that, all that, I have to give money, this, that. So, let me say this thing, everything. Finally, what I want to do? I want to be imperishable. Why you want to put in all these efforts to become imperishable? You are already imperishable. So, wasting all your time. If you are doing that, do it for fun. Do it for fun in the sense. Enjoy. No, very seriously. Yeah. Why? Because you are not understanding that you are imperishable. To become imperishable, you are doing all this while you are already imperishable. That's what the whole point is here. What he is trying to say. When he says Akshara, Nama, the Nama of Vishnu. But it is you. It's your real nature. You are Akshara. The problem is you are identifying with head to toe. Form. It's perishable. The problem. Everything is perishable. Everything comes with a resolve. It's very dead. Color your hair, you'll be there for a while and then it's gone. So, if you really want to get out of the samsara, you should know that you are Akshara, you are Sakshi, you are Paramatma, Putatma. You remember one or two namas also is enough. And you must do tremendous reflection on these namas. When you do reflection on these namas, what happens is, firstly, chanting of the Vishnu Sahasranama itself, your words become purified. And with these words, what kind of all nonsensic words we use from morning till night. The first purpose is when you say, okay, I'm going to study Vishnu Sahasranama, if you really take it seriously, you will chant. Now we have chanted two nama, two verses. Vishwam Vishnu Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavatabhu Bhuta Kritbhuta Vridbhavo Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. So you will chant like that. Every day you will do this practice. So what happens? Moksha Shuddhi. Then Manash Shuddhi. And before coming to Vishnu Sahasranama chanting, you would have automatically cleansed the environment and your body. So environment cleansing, body cleansing, mind cleansing, walk cleansing, everything you cleanse. And you really get into this bhava and then study Vishnu Sahasranama and do it. Then you will see the effect. Otherwise you will just study and just get the nama's names and then that's it. That's not the way it should be done. Therefore I explained this. So we have completed about 7 namas today. 17 namas today. The rest we will continue from next week. Now we have another 9 minutes. If you have any questions, please do ask.
Guruji, when you give that example of the spider spinning a web out of its own saliva, and you said that the saliva is also part coming from the spiders, and both are consciousness.
Huh?
Yeah, and the saliva is also coming out of the spider. It's not a separate. It's not matter separate. So it's coming out of the spider, and both are the same consciousness or the same.
No, in the spider example, the intelligence to make the web is also coming from. Spider, yeah.
So and the matter is also coming from the spider only.
Exactly. In the case of Shweta, material is clay. Shweta is the intelligent cause.
Different, yeah. But in
both
in
are the same. Adambi or
Sorry? The in spider both are the same, you mean?
Spider is both the material cause and the intelligent cause.
So when you will say like a mother and child,
then
it's not the same as a spider. Even though the child is coming through the mother, it's not, the mother is not, it is, you're not capable of creating life. It's a higher.
Yeah, that's why they didn't give that example.
Okay. So that won't work in this example. Okay.
See, what they're trying to say is, the world is nothing but Brahman only. It has come out of Brahman. It is an expression of Brahman. But Brahman has no motive to create the world. It is paripurna. So it's the maya that is expressed itself as its names and forms. When you remove the names and forms, what remains is Brahman.
Okay. So it's all Brahman and it's just expression.
Exactly. As for gunas, everybody is different.
Okay. That's what I hadn't understood. Thank you.
Guruji, so I love the example that you gave of that treadmill and coke. It becomes so clear what you were saying, that if we just do this class and not do anything besides that to cleanse ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so clear, that example makes you really think.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Guruji, I mean, I had an issue yesterday. I know what you say makes all sense, you know, but when it happens, I still get agitated. I mean, later I got calm. I said, you know, why do I expect, like, you know, somebody, you feel you've done, okay, you do not for expecting anything in return. But when you need something, and like just now I'm not going out, I mean, I needed something which I couldn't get my staff to go and get. So I requested to 3 people. None of them put in any effort. So I got very upset. I know this doesn't make sense. I mean, practically what you've been teaching, I mean, practically that did not get implemented. I mean, mentally I knew, but I was still getting agitated. Mentally, I kept trying to tell myself, I was better than earlier. And I did get over it faster. But that initial irritation, that initial upset, not irritation, that upset, you know, that feeling of letdown, I don't know what, how to explain it.
No, that is because the strength of the intellect is only that much. When the intellect strength becomes much more, this won't happen. So, you need to continue doing the sadhana to increase the strength of the intellect. Like I said, once you are agitated, to deal with the agitation, you have to, do your daily yoga, pranayama, that will help you to reduce your agitations. So, already there. And chanting, that will also help in reducing agitations. Doing your puja and all that also helps you in reducing your agitations. All these things you can follow. But what is very important is daily study and reflection. When you do daily study and reflection, and in your daily living, if you question everything, you will be strengthening the intellect.
No, how can you question? I'm somebody who asked. You ask somebody for a favor. Okay, you ask somebody for a favor because I was not in a condition to do it myself.
No, question everything means anything that happens in life, don't take it for granted. Question. These things will help you to develop the intellect. Once, if your intellect was strong, then you told somebody to buy something from the shop and they didn't do it. You won't be upset. But if that was their job and they didn't do it, you will take action against them in the way it has to be done, but without getting upset.
No,
we are not talking about taking the action. We are talking about getting upset. So that getting upset will not happen to the extent your intellect is strong. It happened because your intellect is not strong. I am telling how to make the intellect strong. To make the intellect strong, you have to question everything in life. Generally, not somebody who will passively accept everything. If you are a questioning type, you don't accept anything for granted, you will build your intellect. Apart from that, on a daily basis, if you sit and study and reflect, you will be strengthening your intellect. And like I said, all other sadhanas, if you keep doing, slowly the intellect will develop. But now you yourself, when you ask this question, you said, I got upset, I understood I'm getting upset, and after some time I became fine. Which means what? Your intellect is strong, but not that strong to the extent where it doesn't even get upset. At least it is stronger than before.
Yeah.
Before you were not even aware. Now you are becoming aware that I am getting unnecessarily upset. You understand? Why should I get unnecessarily upset? I don't have to get unnecessarily upset. I have to take action. Maybe I will take action. Whatever I need to do, I will do. But why should I get upset? So, that in the sense, your intellect is developing, but to get to that level where you are not at all getting upset, you need to strengthen your intellect even more. You have to continue sadhana.
Yes.
But if there is something that is tremendously agitating, can't be everything that is agitating you tremendously. One or two issues which may be tremendously agitating and not even allowing you to do sadhana, you are not even able to go to sleep. How will you get up and study in the morning? So if something is upsetting you so much, then what we tell is, those kind of issues, if it is there, whomever you have trust in and think has higher intellect, surrender to that person, analyze, sort it out, take their help. So that at least, you know, it's like some people, they do have this jet lag and all that. So they go to the doctor, some people, another class member of mine was telling me the other day, he had jet lag, so he went to the doctor for 2 days, he couldn't sleep. Then they said, okay, I have a small dosage of sleeping tablet or whatever he gave. So, temporarily, they give all these things. And it's not that every day you have the tablet and sleep. So like that, you know, if something is bothering you so much that you can't even do sadhana, then of course you need to sit and analyze it with somebody whom you have confidence and accept their intellect and then sort it out and then get on to yourself. But ultimately, you have to strengthen your intellect.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to do my breathing. I would do a little breathing, then I would again.
Breathing and all will help you to deal with your agitations.
Yeah.
Breathing will not make you not get upset.
Mm-hmm.
You want to not get upset, you have to strengthen your intellect.
Okay.
That time if you keep breathing, you will get more upset. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamiva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Vainavacha Manasendriyaiva Vidyatmanava Satate Svabhava Karomi Yadya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanaya Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all next time.